started into a series on Hebrews, but I abandoned that for today because I wanted to keep my message condensed because we have baptisms downstairs at the end of the service. So my plan is to get back to the next chapter in Hebrews next week. This week, if you would turn with me to Psalm 78, I've entitled this The Right and Wrong Path. The Right and Wrong Path. I'm a little hoarse. I'm having some allergy stuff going on, so bear with me if I clear my throat now and then. We're going to read the first six verses of Psalm 78 to get us started. Beginning to read. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that this morning you would hide me behind the cross of Calvary as I bring this word, that you would put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you ordained for this morning, and Lord, that we would all be awakened in our spirits to your truth and put to practice what we hear in this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. God had blessed the nation of Israel, but they defiled the land, and they denied the Lord, they disobeyed the law, and judgment came on them. This psalm was written by Asaph. As we review this psalm, we will learn some things about freedom and also rebellion. First thing I want to look at and focus on is verses 5 and 6 of the text we just read. We need to review our history. We're living in a day in our nation where U.S. history is no longer being taught accurately because there is an agenda to overlook the fact that we were founded as a Christian nation. So it's becoming more and more important that we teach American history, U.S. history, to our children if we have to at home. But they need to know the truth of the history that exists. Let me review some things, areas that we need to know. Dads and parents in general are to be teachers of history to their children. We should, at home, review America's spiritual and national history. Our children need to be informed so that they have a foundation in their lives. Because otherwise, when we send them off to public school, they're being taught untruths. There are great big gaps in our national history that are no longer being taught. So, we as parents need to build into our children a biblical worldview. That is what the agenda of the left, I hope you understand what I'm talking about when I say the left. The left is trying to erase God out of our history, as well as many other things. They are trying to take away a biblical worldview. So we need to train our children and send them off to school already taught if we're sending them to public school. We need to teach them apologetics. Here at this church, in our children's ministry, for a long time, whether you know it or not, parents, we have been doing the best we know how to do to teach our children apologetics in this church. But here at church is not enough. It's got to be done at home. What am I talking about when I say apologetics? When I'm talking about apologetics, I'm talking about being equipped to defend our faith. That's what I'm talking about. So we need to equip our children to be able to defend their faith. I know I've got some grandchildren that are pretty outspoken in the classroom. I'm proud of them. Also, review your family's spiritual history or the lack thereof. Our children need to understand their heritage. My parents raised us in a home that had a form of right, of being taught right from wrong, but my parents were not born again believers. So, thank God, they got saved under my ministry years later, since I'm a pastor. They both at different times gave their lives to Christ. So thank God that they left this earth saved, and I will see them again. But I was not necessarily raised in a Christian home. Those of you that have been around here for a long time, you know that. I've shared pieces of my testimony. Never, ever was a Bible opened in our home. I was taught right from wrong, but there was no foundation on the Word. So we need to review our family's spiritual history. We need to review your own spiritual history. We need to, as parents, share our walk with God, with our children and our grandchildren, and if you have them, great-grandchildren. I have to include that now because it's a reality for me. We need to train them, every generation, in the things that are right, in the things that are godly. When they need to understand what their heritage is and why. We also need to review our church's history. I share that now and then. When we started, for the benefit of those that have, were not here then. Now and then I share that, our history, how we got started. That's why I do that, because if you're here, you need to know where, how this church started and where we're going, the vision that God has given me. So from time to time, I've shared that over the years so people know what they're getting involved in, what the vision is for this church. It's important. We need to, second major point, we need to renew our memory. We've got to renew our memory. Isn't it interesting that Israel forgot many times? Israel forgot. Even after they were delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, delivered through the waters, and watched Pharaoh's whole army drown, God delivered them, and it was a short time, only a few days later, and they're making a golden calf because they didn't know where Moses went. So they made themselves a golden calf and started to worship it and said, "This is who has delivered us from the hand of Pharaoh." Do you see how quickly people can turn away from God and get themselves messed up if we don't keep our eyes on our Savior every day of our life? Otherwise, we just start going up. It's like driving an automobile. If we take our hands off the steering wheel on a road that is perfectly straight, and our car is going down the road real good, because if it's aligned right, it'll go a long ways down a straight road. Okay? But eventually, it's going to start drifting off a little bit. And if you don't correct it, somewhere down the road, you're going to end up upside down with the wheel spinning. And that same thing happens in our lives if we don't keep our eyes on Christ. And correct when we start going off a little bit. Get ourselves corrected. Just like with an automobile when we're driving. Said in our text, we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. I have had, in the 40 years almost, November will be 40 years since I got born again, been walking with Christ. I have had innumerable lousy things happen in my life. But I have also had innumerable blessings in my life. And I over the years have shared those things with you. Because that's reality. It's how we deal with it. It's whether we keep our eyes on Christ when we're going through hard things. Jesus did say, this is not popular to preach, but Jesus did say, in this world you will have trouble. So he warned us. There's no sense in getting mad and saying, well, I've had too many bad things happen. He's supposed to be a good God. I've decided he's not, so I'm going to walk away from him. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Because we need to remember what the whole of the Word of God says about our relationship with God. Romans 8:28. Now, you've got to memorize some key scriptures, guys. Romans 8:28 says that he works all things for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. All things combined. God uses even the lousy things he redeems that are in our lives, because those things have been allowed to come into our lives to shape us into the people that he wants us to be. So bad things are going to happen. But also, if we will continue to walk with God, his blessings will chase us down the street. Because he is a good God. And he has good in his mind for each and every one of us. So we need to remember those things. So in Psalm 78, verses 7 through 11 says, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. I was watching a preacher this morning, and he said, he made the statement, you can obey God, you can obey without loving him, but you can't love him without obeying him. Obviously, that stuck in my mind. I thought, man, that's good. That is a fact. Because we can obey some things. We do. We obey some things. We can do that without loving God. But if we truly love God, we want to obey him. So, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, who were a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. To the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle, they did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had showed them. Years ago, God healed me of an incurable disease. It's a documented miracle in Iowa City hospitals. It's a documented miracle.
I had a disease that today, this day, still, after all these years, they do not have a cure for it. By now, it probably, well, it would have. It would have killed me by now because it was taking over my lungs. My lungs were 27% scarred already when I was diagnosed. That's over 25% of my lungs. One quarter of my lungs were destroyed. And when God healed me, He not only took the disease away, but He restored my lungs. How can I forget that and turn my back on to God just because I've had some lousy things happen in my life? But people do. You know what we have produced in this nation? A bunch of spoiled brats. That's what we have produced in this nation. A whole bunch of spoiled brats that say, it's going to be my way or I'm not doing this. That's what it has produced. Thank God for the true remnant of Christ. Those that are sold out to Him, that have said, no matter what, I'm following You, Lord, because nobody else has salvation. That's why it's so exciting to baptize believers. There are three memory killers. The first one is the lust of the flesh. We read verses 17 through 20 of Psalm 78. It says, but they continued to sin against Him, rebelling in the desert against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the desert? What a bunch of whiners. Isn't it true? Yeah. And then they said, when He struck the rock, water gushed out and streams flowed abundantly. But can He also give us food? Can He supply meat for His people? Yeah, He supplied meat. It says in the Word that He supplied so much meat that it started to come out their noses. Do you think He wasn't very happy with them? He's like, I'll give you meat. You whine about the manna, which was a totally balanced diet for them. They whined about it. I got a level with you. I've thought it over. I'm going to be fair about this. If I had to eat the same thing every day, I maybe would whine a little bit myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's right. But that is human nature, isn't it? I mean, how many times you come home as a kid? I did when I was a kid. I'd come home from school, I'm hungry as a bear. Mom would have something on the stove, I'd look at it, open the pot. Oh, man. That again. And Mom would say, someday you'll be buying your own food. You won't be... Somebody can relate to what I'm talking about. So we do have that tendency, don't we? That's our flesh. The lust of the flesh causes us to sin against God. Isn't that right? We have what we need, but we want more. Or we don't want this anymore, we want that. The second big memory killer is the lure of the world. The world lures God's people away from Him. And that, for that, we look in Psalm 78, verses 40 through 42. I had to skip around in this psalm because we've only got so long here. 40 through 42 says, how often they rebelled against Him in the desert and grieved Him in the wasteland. Again and again they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day he redeemed them from the oppressor. They forgot about how good God was. They forgot about the redemption from under the hand of the oppressor. The oppressor in that case, of course, was Herod. He delivered them, and they forgot. How many times has God delivered us, and we go on and we forget? Oh, we're excited at the time. Oh, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! And sometimes it's not even a month later, and we're going, wow. By the way, I just realized I said Herod. I meant Pharaoh. You ever have your brain get in the wrong groove and get off of the wrong track? I had one of them there. So often, they rebelled against him in the desert and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again, they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day he redeemed them from the oppressor. You do understand God has the power to vaporize every one of us anytime he wants to. You do understand that, right? Thank God he is a God of grace. He is a God of love. But there, when people stay on the wrong path, and we see this, it's evidence again. When people turn from him, after he woos them to come back for so long and they don't turn back, judgment is coming. Does somebody hear what I'm saying? See, I'm getting more and more alarmed because I do not see as a whole any big time repentance in this nation. And if the repentance doesn't come, you wonder why we're waiting so long for this thing to flip that God spoke to me? It's because people haven't repented. Until we see big time repentance in this nation, we're going to go deeper down the toilet. Does somebody understand what I'm saying? Because God is God, and he is going to have his way. I don't know everything, clearly. Fact is, I know very little, probably. But there is something I do know. There is a God. It is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit who is God. And I know that he is God, and I'm not. And anytime I think I have the authority to call the shots in my life, I'm on a path away from God. Being submitted to him leads to him. That's the right path. Rising up and being stiff-necked and insisting on our own way is the wrong path that leads away from God. Israel went through this cycle. They're still going through it. They've gone through that cycle for thousands of years, guys. So the lure of the world is the second memory killer. The third one, the lies of the devil. Guys, we as believers have got to begin to discern the lies of the devil. Because he's always lying to us. And we have got to learn to discern. How do we discern the lies of the devil? We discern the lies of the devil through knowing the Word of God. Jesus always spoke the Word of God when he was tested by the devil. Even when the devil quoted the Word of God askew. See, the devil quotes the Word of God too, but it's always askew. Jesus quoted the Word of God straight up to combat that. Verses 56 through 58 of Psalm 78. The lies of the devil. says, but they put God to the test and rebelled, there it is again, against the Most High. They did not keep his statutes like their fathers. They were disloyal and faithless, as unreliable as a faulty bow. They angered him with their high places. They aroused his jealousy with their idols. Would you say many, many people, the majority of people, are disloyal today?
Yes.
I would too. I would too. It blows my mind how much our culture, the people in our culture, have changed just in the 23 years since I became a pastor. It's very, very few people that are truly loyal. Most people today are loyal to someone when that someone is doing what they like. If not, there's no loyalty. I was thinking about what we talked about earlier in reviewing our history. Guys, it is more important right now than it ever has been in the history of our nation to get back to the foundation of our history as a nation. Let me explain. There isn't one single person alive today that had slaves. There is also not a single person alive today in this nation that was a slave, under slavery in this nation. It is not my obligation or yours to apologize to anyone for slavery. It's not our responsibility at all. Do I think it was a bad situation that happened the way it was? Yes, but guess what? God corrected it. And he used a guy by the name of Abraham Lincoln to be a key in that. Can I get a witness today? There was a horrible, bloody battle that lasted 4 years. That was the Civil War in this nation. And the battle that set the slaves free was almost lost, but God. I, as a believer, am under absolutely no obligation to use certain pronouns when I address someone. I will call people by the right pronoun. He or she. Whichever one it is. Just because someone decides that they are the other gender, because that's the way they felt when they got up this morning, does not mean I got to call he or she to make them happy. I don't agree with the whole thing. I'm not going to. And nobody's going to make me. This Dutch dude gets pretty stubborn once in a while. I still got 2 feet to stand on and a strong back. And I'm standing up for what's right. And it's time God's people do. This is absolute nonsense that they are teaching our children in the public school systems. It's absolutely absurd.
I am under no obligation to cater to someone that decides they're a furry and put a litter box in the building for them. So if any furries come in this place, there will be no litter box. Am I making myself clear? These things are absurd and they fly right in the face of a holy God. And there needs to be a repentance from this as a nation and as individuals, or we are going to see horrible things in our lifetime in this nation. You can take that back. Because God's not impressed. Did you ever notice I'm usually a little extra mouthy after I've had vacation? This has been weighing on me, guys. And the church as a whole in this nation is not standing up, but by God, this church is going to. So we must reclaim our legacy. Our final point, guys. We need to reclaim our legacy because the left is trying to deprogram people and alter our legacy. And our legacy that started when this nation was founded was a Christian nation. And we have got to get back to that legacy and stand for that. Can I get two or three people that would stand with me in this place today? Yes. Amen. Verses 59 through 61 of Psalm number 78. You guys, you all need to read and study this whole psalm, man. There's a lot in this, guys, that relates to what we're dealing with in our nation today and in the world. It's not just our nation. In the world, we're dealing with this stuff. Getting to read. When God heard them, he was very angry. He rejected Israel completely. Think about that for a minute. He rejected Israel completely. Do you think he will reject any nation that turns from him? Yes, he will. He abandoned the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had set up among men. See, if he abandoned the tent, which was the tabernacle at Shiloh, that he had set up because of their sin, do you think that he has abandoned many, many churches? Yeah. There are many, many churches in this nation that might as well hang up a shingle over their front door outside that says Ichabod. Because the name Ichabod means the glory has departed. And when the glory of God departs from a church, you might as well shut her down because all you are then is a country club. I am not ever interested, never will be, in pastoring a country club. I want to shepherd a bunch of people that are hungry for God and that are willing to stand up for him no matter what, because he is worthy of our praise, honor, and glory. Verse 61 says, he sent the ark of his might into captivity, his splendor into the hands of the enemy. The ark of the covenant went into captivity. He put it in the hands of the enemy. It didn't work out very well. I don't have time to turn to all that. You guys, I'm serious. Read this whole psalm and study. Do the research on it because it's powerful. The ark of the covenant fell into the enemy's hands, but it did not go well for the enemy when the ark was in their hands.
He dealt with them. We are here today worshiping a God that is full of grace and love. But that's not by any means the whole message. Because He is also a God of judgment, and He can be a God of wrath. We need reminded of that regularly. Because when we become too familiar with our God, then we no longer look at Him that as the one that has the power to destroy us. And if history teaches us anything in the Bible, He's completely capable of doing that, and He's willing to if people will not turn back, especially when He calls a people a stiff-necked people. Whenever He has used that terminology, it didn't end well for those people. So there's a right road and a wrong road. What one are you on? What road are you on? Are you on the road that leads to God, or are you on the road that the world is calling people and drawing people to go on that leads away from God? Which one is it? Because the one that leads to God leads to eternal life, but the one that leads away from God leads to death and destruction. And I'm talking about eternal death. Which road is it? Well, we've got several people today that we're going to baptize downstairs in a little bit that have decided Jesus Christ is who He says He is. He's the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him alone. Let's stand together. Father, I just pray Your blessing on this word. Lord, we have heard, but Lord, I pray that we would adhere to what we've heard. And Lord, I pray for those that are being baptized downstairs in a little bit. Lord, by Your Spirit, make this a special, memorable time that every one of these people will be able to share with their loved ones, with their children one day, and with their grandchildren, Lord, if You tarry. Lord, Lord, we share our walk with You, with our children and our children's children. So that, Lord, You are the center, so that You are glorified. Lord, bless us as we migrate downstairs to witness these baptisms. We give You all the honor, glory, and praise for the mighty work that You are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you downstairs.